cognitive fudding was very helpful for a woman named Teresa, who developed the symptoms of obsessive-compulsive disorder after the birth of her first child. Teresa began to obsess that her baby had been switched at the hospital and was afraid that she'd ended up with the wrong baby. Teresa's son had been delivered via cesarean section. When she was in the recovery room following delivery, the doctor explained that everything had gone smoothly and that she'd given birth to a healthy son. However, he'd accidentally nicked the baby's right foot with his scalpel. He reassured her that the cut wasn't serious and would heal just fine. Teresa was relieved when she saw that her son did have a small cut on his right foot, but soon she started obsessing and worrying that the cut might be in the wrong location. If so, this would mean that she had the wrong baby. The doctor reassured Teresa that this was her son and that the cut was in the correct location. Still, she kept obsessing. What if my baby was switched by mistake? That would mean that someone else has my son. Teresa checked her son's foot over and over all day long, trying to reassure herself that this really was her baby. She became completely consumed by worrying and checking his foot. I used many techniques to help Teresa challenge the negative thought, I might have the wrong baby, but she couldn't let go of it. I decided to try the what-if technique. I wanted to find out why Teresa was so worried about having the wrong baby. I said, Teresa, rationally, you know that this is your baby. But what if this wasn't your baby, but someone else's? Why would that be upsetting to you? What are you the most afraid of? Teresa replied, that would mean that someone else has my baby. I asked, and what if that were true? Why would that be upsetting you? What are you the most afraid of? She said, well, maybe the people who got my baby are bandits. They might be kidnappers or bad people who abuse children. I said, let's suppose that were true. What are you the most afraid of? What's the worst thing that could happen? Teresa reluctantly described a horrible scenario where sadistic kidnappers had taken her little boy to a cabin in the desert south of the Mexican border. I asked her to describe the scene in detail. In her fantasy, she imagined that the men were holding her baby's feet, swinging him through the air, and smashing his head against the wall. Then they threw him down the stairs like a basketball and locked his broken and bleeding body in a dark closet. Teresa sobbed as she spoke. I asked how upset she felt on a scale from 0% to 100%. She said she felt 100% anxious, the absolute worst. The fantasy horrified her. I was also disturbed by the fantasy and wondered if I should back off. But then I reminded myself about the basic principle of exposure therapy. You have to face your worst fear and endure the anxiety until it goes away. If you try to escape from the monster, your fears will intensify. So I encouraged Teresa to stick with the fantasy for as long as possible. This is how cognitive flooding works. We continued visualizing the gruesome fantasy until the end of the session. But Teresa's anxiety didn't improve. She was still 100% anxious. Generally, when a technique isn't working, you can put it on the shelf and move on to another technique. But exposure techniques are an exception to the rule. Exposure will work only if the fantasy is upsetting at first. So Teresa's intense anxiety was a positive sign, even though the cognitive flooding was exceedingly painful for her. As horrifying as the session had been, I felt optimistic because we were finally hitting pay dirt. I reassured Teresa that cognitive flooding takes time and asked if she'd be willing to stick with it, even though it was difficult to endure. She said she'd be willing to do more. I asked her to practice on her own for at least 15 minutes every day until her next session. The next week, Teresa explained that she hadn't tried the cognitive flooding. She said the fantasies seemed too horrible. However, she said she'd be willing to try again during the session with my support. We spent the entire session visualizing the same horrific fantasies, but her anxiety levels remained at 100% the whole time. At the end of the session, I emphasized the value of practice at home if she felt she could endure it. Teresa made a commitment to do the cognitive flooding for 15 minutes every day, no matter how upsetting it was. Teresa's next appointment was 2 weeks later. She told me that she'd practiced faithfully every day and had gotten intensely upset the first 2 times she tried it. The 3rd time, however, the fantasies started to lose their credibility, and she couldn't get her anxiety above 50%. On the 4th and 5th days, the fantasies began to seem ridiculous, and her anxiety vanished. At this point, all Teresa's doubts about her son disappeared, along with the urges to check his foot. She said that her fears about having the wrong baby seemed absurd, and that she was enjoying being a new mother and felt ready to terminate therapy. For Teresa, cognitive flooding seemed gruesome at first. Even I kept telling myself that there had to be an easier way and felt tempted to back off. You may feel the same way when you first try this method. It may seem too frightening. If so, this is a clue that you're probably on the right track. If you want to overcome your anxiety, you'll have to confront the devil you fear the most. Sometimes effective treatment can feel like a trip to the gates of hell, but the final result is nearly always worth the discomfort you have to endure along the way. When you use the feared fantasy technique, you enter a nightmare world where your worst fears come true. There are 2 unusual rules in this world. First, whenever you're afraid that other people are judging you or looking down on you, they really are. In fact, their negative thoughts about you will often be even worse than you imagined. Second, they always tell you exactly what they're thinking. They're not polite, and they don't hold back at all. In this nightmare world, you'll meet an imaginary critic who will rip into you in the worst possible way and attack your every shortcoming. You can respond using self-defense or the acceptance paradox. When you use self-defense, you argue with the critic and try to put the lie to what the critic says. When you use the acceptance paradox, you defeat the critic by finding truth in the criticisms. This takes the wind out of the critic's sails. Keep in mind that the feared fantasy is radically different from assertiveness training. The hostile critic does not exist in reality, but is simply the projection of your own worst fears. You're really doing battle with yourself. Real people would almost never be as cruel and judgmental as the critic in your own brain. You can either do the feared fantasy as a role-playing technique with the help of a therapist or friend, or you can write out a feared fantasy dialogue. When you role-play, be sure to use role reversals whenever you get stuck, so you can learn more effective ways to defeat the hostile critic. A woman named Monica sent me an email with a question about her self-critical thoughts. She wrote, "Dear Dr. Burns, I've suffered from depression, social phobia, and panic disorder for 20 years. I also have a fear of driving. I'm using all of your books together with therapy, and I'm finally getting good results. However, I wonder how different my life could have been if I'd only learned about these techniques and practiced them sooner. I constantly relive past events and think, if only I'd done such and such, things could be different now. Sometimes I get depressed thinking how I've wasted my life and accomplished nothing because of 20 years of depression and anxiety. Now it seems almost too late. I struggle with the most basic things that face normal adolescents, like career choices, getting educated, finding friends, and so on. But I'm going on 40, and I'm overwhelmed by the combination of age and inexperience. Every sign of aging frightens me, and I'm embarrassed to be so far behind in life. Do you have any ideas to counteract these thoughts? They intrude even when I'm doing positive things to change. Thank you very much, Monica."